Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Is usually a free-flowing although I hate to use the term free-flowing conversation because that's what Simmons prepends all his podcasts with. So, so
I've avoided his, I've avoided his Twitter like the plague.
Best one was The Ringer. How did the Boston Celtics trade for LeBron was like the most ridiculous one. It's like the Cavs are ever trading with Danny Ainge again.
Oh, wait, save it. Let's save that.
No,
for
but we're recording. So welcome.
Oh, are
to
we?
The podcast.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
I did the Phantom intro for EG there.
Yeah.
Welcome to hello world.
Another edition. The first postseason edition of Cavs
yeah,
the podcast.
Hot Stove League.
Hot Stove League,
which is a very hot stove or very. Whatever, I don't know what I'm saying there, but it
LeBron watch 2018.
Yeah, like, are we going to be tracking?
No, they do that out here in LA. You know, they do like warm watch. It's like LeBron watch 2018.
Well, I remember in 2010 we were tracking Dan Gilbert's plane.
No, that was 2014.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
2010,
we didn't have that technology.
We were blindsided.
Yeah. Twitter around in 2010?
I don't think so.
I feel like it was, but it was.
Facebook was. Yeah. I don't know if Twitter might have been, but in its early stages. I don't think it was nearly as widely used.
Before the Donald made it universal.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Has that president helped any other company more than he's helped Twitter? Probably
seriously.
Not.
Seriously.
So
I'm sure there are some, but let's not get into that conversation.
Yeah, but I mean that guy's been a boon for Twitter for sure.
A boondoggle.
Hey-o. Yeah. So post finals loss, Cavs 4-0, we're on the LeBron watch.
Yeah.
So they really have like the daily LeBron briefing out there.
Oh yeah. No, I got like a front row seat to it, man.
Okay, so is it on like the nightly news every night, or how's it?
I mean, on the sports nightly news, like it's like nightly news. But although they're that whole Gary Payton, what school Bronny's, you know, gone to or whatever, or that they were registering or whatever that made the regular news.
Oh yeah, well I heard. Did you see the one today of some? Just Cavs Nation posted it and said that LeBron is meeting with the Cavs tomorrow and will give them a
but today like Wednesday like
but then the attribution was it was like NBA social.net like the source so. Yeah, it was a little ridiculous, and it was never corroborated anywhere else. But boy, it would be nice.
The Payton story wasn't necessarily debunked, but the school said we have it's not the case.
Yeah, and then there's always the things of like, oh, LeBron checked out these schools in Philly, and LeBron checked out these schools in LA, and he probably has, you know.
Well, yeah, because. Here's the thing, he hasn't made his decision.
Multimillionaires who have kids are pretty selective about where their kids go to school.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but again, why would you not? Like if you're LeBron, like if there's even the you're taking the time to hear teams' pitches on potentially going there, you'd absolutely look into the schools in those places.
Yeah. Oh, I love. So how about?
And by the way, you'd absolutely apply to the schools in those places so that you wouldn't get shut out if you had to wait until, you know, July, whatever, to, because most of them have already had cutoff dates.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
so the truth is, he very well might have applied for that school, and they might even have accepted him, but it'll still depend on where LeBron goes before he would just have to have that in place. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, what were you saying? Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, and of course you made me lose my train of thought as I was going through Twitter, and I see this tweet: the Bismarck flying fox is the largest bat on the planet, and like they've got this picture, and it literally looks like a fox with wings. And now I've totally lost my train of thought. So,
wait, what? What are you thinking about Bismarck flying foxes for?
There's a bat called the Bismarck flying fox, and is the largest bat on the planet, and it literally looks like a fox with wings.
Is that like? Is there a G League team in Bismarck or something?
I don't know, but that would be a great name for a G League basketball team.
The Bismarck Flying Foxes.
That would be pretty awesome. But
that would be. We should start a campaign for that.
Yeah. Oh, what I was going to say is, I'm sure it's the sports radio out there too. Is just.
Oh, I don't even listen to sports.
Well,
radio
even that,
anymore.
But it's got to like percolate up to where people talk about it a little bit.
Oh, for sure. No, everywhere I go, people talk like. Like I didn't put it in the post that I had, but there was one time we went when I took my daughter jet skiing. We happened to be down there at the same time that Justin Bieber was also there.
Okay,
and we went the day after he apparently went with his friends and like wrecked a couple of jet skis, so we had like limited choices. But the one guy who was pretty like clued in, like he was like. Talking a little bit about the finals and like, you know, speculating that he was pretty sure LeBron was going to go to Los Angeles. And I said, what do you care? Like, you're in the Turks and Caicos. He's like, no, no. He goes, I'm a Golden State fan anyways. And I was just like, just give me my refund.
Stop talking now.
Yeah. Just stop. Yeah. I would have walked out, but my daughter really wanted to go. So
that was the only
thing that aggravated me. But I couldn't really find a good place to put it in my post. So I was like, I'm just leave that story out. I'll save it for
the Empire in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So how sick are you already of Bob Myers? Oh, so much stuff happened behind the scenes. These last few years have been really hard. And
Cry Me a River, Bob.
Or, like, Draymond Green's ridiculous trolling. What was the one he was wearing?
Oh, he was wearing the shirt with it's the one that LeBron likes.
The Ultimate Warrior?
No, it's the cartoon.
Oh, Arthur?
Arthur, yeah, it's Arthur, but, like, holding with a fist, but with three rings on it. I gotta say, it's actually pretty. If it wasn't Draymond doing it, I would have been like, "Oh, that's clever."
Yeah, but the other thing is, you've got three rings in 4 years. You don't need to troll anyone. It's like, it's
no,
like
but he does,
so low rent.
That's who he is. He's the guy that wouldn't shake Tristan's hand, saying like, "Oh, like something like we're not cut from the same cloth. You're not on my level or whatever."
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I saw close-ups in the very few minutes that I watched, which happened to be like that first quarter of game four. I could clearly see Draymond saying like, your woman left you or like something about your, and I'm like, wow, dude, like talk about, I mean, he shouldn't be trying to shake your hand. Like you're an absolute scumbag.
Yeah. Well, that's probably true. I got to say the funny thing about the whole thing is Kevin Durant somehow comes off as the least douchey this offseason, which is just bizarre. Like even Steve Kerr is like a little bit ridiculous at this point.
Oh yeah, with his like, oh, I'm sure I'll play whoever we draft.
Yeah,
30th and
mid level. KD's taking the mid-level.
Like, yeah.
Come on. Just like, I don't know.
Hello?
They seem unbelievably douchey.
I don't know how you...
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside of Golden State, I don't know how you root for that team. By the way, in all fairness, outside of Cleveland, I don't know how you root for this team. Like, I had a hard time. Well, I had a hard time outside of LeBron when he was engaged rooting for this team. I wanted guys to do well. Like, I certainly before the trade deadline, there were not too many guys that I was happy to see go.
I don't think anybody missed Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that guy might be.
But does anybody miss Shumpert? Guy I missed out of that entire grouping that left was Channing.
Yeah,
well, and I felt like they probably could have. They probably should have held on to Channing somehow. But you know, I get it. They had to make the moves. But I don't know. I mean, like I had high hopes for Larry Nance. But I think he just got jerked around too much, and people just assume like, oh, he's supposed to be really good, but he's still a developing big who, you know, he's got flaws, but he's got strengths too. And very rarely did it seem like they played to his strengths. But he makes dumb mistakes too, but it's not like he's ever really been coached up all that much. But
yeah, that's the one bummer about Potapenko leaving, because he was kind of their big man coach, and he did a fantastic job with Zizek.
Maybe they can hire Z.
I don't think Z wants any part of what's going on with the Cavs.
He still lives in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, and Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
but you know what I mean? Like, I had high hopes for these guys. I mean, I wanted to like George Hill. I liked Jordan Clarkson when the deal was made. Yeah. I liked the idea of Rodney Hood.
The idea of Rodney Hood.
But I feel like I got to really know any of these guys well.
I agree with you.
And it just wound up being like this, you know, battle of attrition down the stretch and into the playoffs, where it was like, well, what crazy lineup is he playing now? And none of us had real faith in Jeff Green. And he stepped up a couple of times. There was most notably that game, game six or seven of the Celtics series. But, but it was hard. Like, you know, Tristan, you know,
Tristan actually, I did not think had a bad playoffs. The problem is there was, here's the problem. The Cavs backcourt was utter garbage in the finals. I mean, you cannot get the anemic scoring that you get out of your two starting guards in the NBA and win a playoff series, let alone, you know, a finals game. It's a miracle those two got to the finals. That might be the worst starting backcourt in finals history.
Yeah. But that's just it. Although
Booby and Delonte, who was it? Delonte and
no, it wasn't. Not in 2007. That was Booby and Eric Snow.
Yeah. So okay, yeah, I take that back.
Or was it Larry Hughes and Eric Snow? I don't know.
I take that back. But at least Larry Hughes could score some points. But
yeah. But here's the thing: like on paper, like George Hill's been. He hasn't been an all-star, but he's been a good player. And then on paper, J.R. Smith has been to all of these finals. He's started in all of these finals. Yeah. So you would like to think, and you know, J.R., it's tough because obviously he had the biggest gaffe and maybe the two biggest gaffes of certainly game one.
What was the other one besides the timeout?
Well, he was the one that flew by,
at the
end of the first half after the brick Jeff Green three, and then JR just did the whole flyby. Because look, he doesn't hit that three at the end of the half, then that's a pretty important when the game goes to overtime. So,
yeah, no, I'll agree with you.
But I feel like he was an easy target to pile on, and
even in that game, it was an easy target to pile on because. I mean, the funny thing is say he puts up a shot and he misses, and then Golden State gets that back, and calls a timeout, then all of a sudden they've got a chance to win. You know, yeah. Going to overtime in that situation is not the worst thing that could happen. But the Cavs, I mean, totally lost their composure. LeBron lost his composure. And you know, JR clearly didn't know the clock, but it's also on the coach and the rest of the players to put him. I put more on Lou than I put on JR. I mean,
well,
whatever.
I mean, if it wasn't JR, you wouldn't. Like, if it was right, a normal exactly. player that didn't have a history of making boneheaded decisions,
yeah.
you would say, well, dude, you got to know. Since it's JR, I think that's why we yeah. look at Lou and say, how did you not? And even LeBron, like, how do you not, like, go to JR and say, dude, if this happens? But how unexpected was that? That he would sneak out of there with, you know, like, get by Durant to get the ball, you know, for the offensive rebound. But it's too bad they didn't call the uncalled Draymond lane violation, because I'm pretty sure George Hill probably would have hit that the retry at that. But whatever. I mean, look, that was their best chance to win. I didn't think it would be. I thought it was a portent of, hey, you know what? You guys can play with these guys more than I realized you could. But you know, I think Golden State was taken a little too lightly in that first game, and they really missed Iguodala, because, I mean, I saw some stat that said, like, when Iguodala guarded in the Houston series, when he guarded either Harden or Chris Paul, they shot, like, 1 for 41 against him, or something crazy like that.
The only chance the Cavs had was to at least take one game when Iguodala wasn't in the series, because they were so much better with him defensively, and just his ability to play, you know, four different positions. And
are you buying the LeBron, like, basically had a broken hand thing, or do you think it was just that?
No, I buy it. I mean, and if
now before you say any more, he was, I mean, this is stupid, but he was seen at that Cracker Barrel without the brace on with his family just like the other day, like 2 days ago. So I'm just saying,
Cracker Barrel Gate. You heard it here.
Yeah.
I don't put a lot of stock in it. I mean,
I'm sure if he bruised it pretty bad.
Yeah.
If it was broken, I think he would have come out and said, "I broke my hand." Like, why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, they're just
like, why say it after game four, right? Why say like, "Oh, I broke my hand."
So, Mike Schreiner or Michael? Do you prefer Mike or Michael?
Mike
Schreiner joining us. CTB writer, and you kind of follow all the different Cavs Twitter feeds. I see you all over the place. So Michael's got his finger on the pulse of the Cavalier community. And
I love that you asked him what he preferred, and he said Mike, and then you just called him Michael.
Well, it's because Michael is sitting up on my screen here. So if he prefers Mike, he should have put the name Michael or the name Mike on his Skype account.
It's no problem. I'm not really a big deal.
Or as they might call you, Mr. Schreiner.
that is another name I have to go by.
So, Mike, do you think? So the question is that LeBron was seen walking into the Cracker Barrel this week without the cats on his hand. Do you think he really had a broken hand, or it was kind of hamming it up a little bit?
I think he was hamming it up. I think it was bruised and probably painful, but I don't think it was broken. I'm also a little surprised he goes to Cracker Barrel. I just don't see how he's
delicious.
Yeah, it's delicious, but I just don't see how he's like left alone anywhere.
He's like a regular dude. Like here's the thing. That's the one thing he can do in Northeast Ohio that he can't do anywhere else. Like, you wouldn't be able to do that in Los Angeles. And I can say that from experience, and I won't go into too much detail about it, but the one time that I was in the vicinity of LeBron out here in Los Angeles, and it wasn't even LA proper, but we absolutely mobbed. So.
Well, it's interesting because we talked about Simmons a little earlier, and he says one reason that basketball players go out to LA is because everybody's a celebrity out there, so they get left alone a little bit. And you're saying it's actually the opposite for LeBron.
Yeah.
Which I believe, actually, because he's such a huge star, and I mean,
such a huge person too.
I mean, I saw him at a Charge game. People wave, they say hi, but they basically leave him alone. Yeah. Like, you know, I didn't, like, people aren't going nuts.
So you're actually, saying the next letter, though, is going to be based around, I can still go to Cracker Barrel here. This is the right decision.
That's right.
Me and my family.
Yeah. The Cracker Barrel letter. Yeah.
Let us enjoy this delicious biscuits. I can't even say biscuits and gravy. Dang it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's all right.
This delicious biscuits and gravy, as Channing Frye would say. But no, I that surprised me too. And he looked so like matter of fact. It was pretty funny. So I think that is a big reason that he probably will stay. But in my mind, there's two things at play here. One, I don't think he likes playing for Dan Gilbert very much. I don't think he likes what a mess the franchise is. I don't think Dan Gilbert actually wants to pay LeBron and actually wants to give LeBron anything he wants. But on the other hand, he also doesn't want to, he even more does not want to be the guy that ran LeBron out of Cleveland.
That's fair. But don't you also think that whatever he pays LeBron is more than made up in the value LeBron brings to the franchise? Like, I feel like maybe he doesn't want to pay LeBron, but he's always going to make more money off of having LeBron. Like, LeBron, just the value he adds to the franchise is more than Gilbert pays him. I just think he's got to be making money off of just LeBron, you know, just his existence. I would bet that if LeBron doesn't come back, the value of the franchise drops like $100 million.
Oh, absolutely.
So if he's paying him 30, he's making money. That simple.
But he,
well, I think it might be more than that, because what's the new standard now? What did the
2.2 billion for the Rockets?
The Rockets, right? So if the Rockets sold for 2.2 billion in Houston, where there's no state tax or whatever,
right?
You know, and the Clippers sold for 2 billion to Ballmer, it's all about demand, right? I mean, like, you know, you probably right now you could probably get at least 2.2 if LeBron stays for the Cavs.
But here's
LeBron
the thing,
leaves, though. I don't think you're getting. I think it's probably closer to like 1.5 or maybe, you know, 1.25.
The
like
thing about that is he's not selling. So unless he actually sells the team while LeBron is here, he doesn't make any of that money.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's all money on paper.
Oh, if I was Dan Gilbert, I'd be selling the team like right now.
Well, and so one of the rumors is that LeBron's agents basically have buyers lined up for the team because they don't want him. They don't want Dan Gilbert owning the team anymore. And one of the power plays I've heard is, you know, sell the team, make a bunch of money. LeBron will stay and you sell the team, or we're walking. So that's one of the rumors I've heard.
I can't imagine Gilbert's ego would let that.
I can't.
He would take the hard line there. I think
so too. But the other side of it is that maybe those agents would not be so overt. Although Rich Paul has made some massive miscalculations in being overt and screwed his clients. Like, he totally screwed Nerlens Noel last year. I mean, Noel probably lost at least $60 million last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like that guy has never made a miscalculation there. So I don't know. But I could certainly see that as a way it could go down, but maybe not quite so overtly. But
no, by the way, I wouldn't blame them for trying, but I also think that there's no perfect situation out there for LeBron.
No.
This time around.
No.
There's no, hey, I'm going to team up with two of my good friends who also happen to be like two of the top 10 players in the league and create a big three in Miami, in South Beach. Or I'm going to come back to Cleveland and basically dictate that, you know, it's me and Kyrie who's already there, who's already under a 5-year deal, and I know that they'll trade for Kevin Love because we've already made that a stipulation. You know what I mean? Like, it's not those situations don't exist anymore, right? Yeah.
Right.
Like, which is why I think the LA situation has become the front runner as far as Vegas is concerned, because when you really, and what was it? The Bleacher Report article did a good job of breaking this all down, which was Houston. I mean, Daryl Morey, magician or not, like Houston would have to gut itself to have room for LeBron, Chris Paul, and James Harden.
And probably still and LeBron and Paul would both have to take less money.
Which would be a complete hypocritical, you know, stance for them, for the Players Association president and chief, their second or first vice president to take after taking a hard line on getting the, you know, the supermax and all that stuff and telling players that they should take as much as possible and saying for years, you know, or at least LeBron saying for years, I'm not taking another pay cut.
So after speaking his of Miami experience. President of the Players Association, is it not the ultimate irony that because they took smoothing and because they, or they did not take smoothing of the salary cap and they had these one-time cap spike in the NBA and that all these players got these ridiculous contracts like Corey emailed us today, Tyler Johnson's making $19 million next year.
Oh yeah,
or Ryan.
Well, because Miami matched their offer sheet,
and Ryan Anderson, is the albatross around the neck of the Rockets. The irony is because of that, Chris Paul, president of the Players Association, LeBron, vice president, probably can't beat the Warriors at this point, even if they teamed up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, that's a big irony.
Is it possible that If LeBron like opted in and the Cavs agreed to work out a trade with Houston, not taking Ryan Anderson back because they're
Ryan Anderson. It would have to be literally everybody else on their team.
Could they keep one Harden, Paul, and Capella though? Those would be the
they could. The three. Yeah, and it's Capella. Actually a CTB article that's going to be coming out later today. But there's also an article that I think Windhorse put out that basically. It was like Tucker and like Eric Gordon and like a bunch of other people would almost total up to $30 million and they could get close. But okay. They would have just those four guys and that would be it.
No, but the other kicker to that I thought was that they still had to find someone to take Ryan Anderson's contract. And they'd probably have to attach at least one, if not two, draft picks to that, meaning they wouldn't have any draft picks left, realistically, to trade to the Cavs.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that being
because I don't think he's a stretch pay candidate. Yeah.
No, he is. I mean, that would be the absolute last resort, but that still is like $7 million on the cap that they would have to somehow eat next year.
I don't know. I'm not a capologist, but I've seen a lot of places where they basically said that Houston would be hard capped, and they would still need to find someone to take Ryan Anderson.
Well, and if they're hard capped, then it's not even they can't even sign like 10 guys to minimum deals.
That's the hard cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not as optimistic as you guys are about him staying, and I feel like it's not that I think he wants to leave Cleveland. You know, everyone puts this on Cleveland. I think it's that he feels he's going to tell the Cavaliers, well, show me what your moves are, and I think Dan will be like, well, re-sign, and then we'll do the moves, and I think then he'll be like, no, I want the – I think, like, basically double – you know, there's not enough trust there for one of them to take that step forward, and then that's where it falls apart.
It's not like Kim and Donald Trump, where they're just going to shake hands and, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant Kim Kardashian.
No. Well,
could be either one.
Could be either one. Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, it's going to be – yeah, there's not a lot of trust there, and I don't blame either guy, although –
yeah, but why would LeBron even I think people are saying he's, you know, there's been a lot of reports out there saying like, oh, he's going to tell them this or that or whatever. I don't think he will because I don't think he knows.
Right. No, I think I agree.
I mean, what's the Cavs' best pitch is like, hey, we're going to draft one of these guys, who's ever there, and pick, and then we're going to have a bunch of different scenarios set up where we're going to feel out and see if we can, you know, take a run at Paul George or,
yeah,
you know. Well,
so here's kind of the way it has to work out. If LeBron is going to opt in to, if LeBron wants to be traded to another team, he pretty much has to opt in to next year, because a sign and trade, as the article tomorrow will illustrate, is almost impossible.
The only two teams that can sign him outright in
that he would want to play for is Philly and LA.
Right.
And so even Philly is close. I don't think they can quite hit his.
No, they'd have to stretch a Jared Bayless.
Which is probably a candidate anyway. Or they would have to send a draft pick for someone to take him. Which they have the draft picks to do that.
Right.
They have a I can't believe that Boston or Philly gets Sacramento's pick next year. It's so ridiculous.
And it's not like Sacramento will be better.
Yeah. So it's either that or he opts into the Cavs. And then if he opts into the Cavs, he either has to have a deal lined up the way Chris Paul did last year, or he has to basically, because the Cavs have to kind of agree to whatever deal's on the table. Or he could, and I don't think he's going to opt in blindly. I think he'd rather be a free agent in that case and just kind of go through the
The way I saw it,
you're cutting out a little, Luigi.
He opts in. His no-trade clause doesn't get to stay in effect or something like that.
Oh, I thought it. Well, I heard it did, but who knows?
Huh.
It's we are in uncharted territory with the CBA here. It's weird that this opt-in and trade has become a thing in the last couple of years because Chris Paul did it, and now the rumor is that maybe Paul George will do it. Although I don't see Paul George doing it at all because the opt-in is for only $10 million.
Right.
So the team he trades to would have to extend him right away, but I don't know if they can extend him for a lot of money with the way the annual increases work.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't think there's any way Paul George is doing an opt-in.
Well, the most interesting thing that could happen is if Paul George just decided to re-up with OKC, which he's floated the last day or two.
I don't.
Right, that's not impossible.
No, I actually, a lot of people think that's a very good possibility.
So if that happens, who's the other star that's going with LeBron to Los Angeles?
Well, Chris Paul. That's an option.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Chris Paul any closer to a title with that team than he is with the Rockets right now, though?
I don't think he is.
He can't stay healthy.
No, he can't stay healthy in the playoffs. The other thing is, D'Antoni is not a good playoff coach. We've seen it time and again.
Right.
I mean, how does your team take? How many threes in a row did they miss? 27.
Yeah, 27 straight.
Maybe after 18, you call a timeout.
That was like Ty Lue level of like.
No, that was
I'm just gonna keep trying this.
Like, I don't even think Ty Lue would have that happen.
You're right.
I got to knock on some serious wood.
He's not, D'Antoni's not one for adjustments. This is our philosophy. This is who we are. And we're going to stick with it come hell or high water.
For the last 15 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've gone over all of these different scenarios. I don't know if you guys caught on ESPN. It was actually kind of funny and clever. They gave like an artist in each of the 30 cities a billboard to try to recruit LeBron.
I saw something about it. I saw the Cleveland one.
Yeah, it's clever. I mean, the Cleveland one is smart. I mean, just put the family on it.
Right.
But like, there was some that were great. Like where Charlotte crossed out the Queen City and then made it the King City.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Or like, what was the other one? That they had LeBron throwing a football in a cowboy hat in on the Dallas one, saying, and it, on the sign it says, "We'll get you a suite at Cowboys home games." Hmm. Oh, this was my favorite. The Denver one says, "Every king needs a joker," and it has a crown and a jester hat.
You like that?
Next to each other.
Yeah,
that was clever. I like that. On the Golden State one was my last chapter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the Indiana one was "Don't blow this chance, LeBron," and it's Lance blowing those words.
Yeah. That is fantastic.
Yeah. There's some really clever ones, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like the Memphis one was like more like serious, but it was cool, like, because they had B.B. King, Elvis, and then LeBron, and said, "Here, kings become legends."
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
That's
and then good. Miami did one of Wade and LeBron and said, "Not one, not two."
There you go. I honestly, I know that's his best friend, but I think LeBron knows. He knows where Wade and Melo are at in their careers. He's not, he's not going to say it, but he knows.
Oh, the OKC one. The OKC one's great because it's Russ and LeBron and sort of like a cubist, like drawing or whatever, like facing opposite directions. And it says Brody and Braun. And then underneath that in small print, it says "No cupcakes."
So my favorite email of the day, or I don't know if it was it was a comment today on the live thread. And somebody said, it was Justin who said, you know, if you put Russ and LeBron on the same team, you should just have a new sport where there's two basketballs.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I was like, that would be actually a really fun sport to watch. Is basketball, 5-on-5 full court basketball with two basketballs.
I don't know where would you look.
I don't know. It probably would be more seizure inducing than entertaining. But
yeah. They should do that for the All-Star game, though. That would spice things up. Yeah.
That would.
With WNBA players.
Yeah.
Although, the WNBA, there was a rumor that they may look at moving it out of the summer and moving it into, like, partly into the regular season, which I would not mind. I think that would make it more exciting, like, if the WNBA playoffs were taking place, you know, shortly after the NBA regular season started.
Mm.
I wouldn't mind that. I like to see.
Although it's such a football heavy time.
That is true
too. Yeah.
Like, I think the cool thing about having it in the summertime is that there's nothing else going on except for baseball, which seems to just go on forever and training camp. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get why they'd move it, but I think, I don't know that I necessarily agree, but
yeah.
But I was to pick up on what I was saying before, like, I just, this is why I keep kind of coming back to, I still think his best option is to return, to stay put. Yeah. Because
do you think it's a long-term deal or a short-term deal if he stays put?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to stay, just sign the Supermax.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you don't like how things are going, retire. You know what I mean? Like, because the truth is, if you look at the landscape, and I know you'll rail against us a little bit, Nate, but Golden State is built not only for the last couple of years, but the next at least 2 or 3 years. If Kevin Durant's going to re-sign, I mean, there's trouble on the horizon with Draymond wanting this, passing up the extension and wanting the Supermax in the summer of 19. Yeah, so they may only have another year or two left, but still, it's going to be hard to beat them next year and the year after that.
Right.
So my point is, if you go to the only two places I think he probably could go or should really think about going would be LA or Philly, just because of the ability for those teams to sign him with and still be on and, you know, have the cap room to sign him straight up and bring in another player along with him, but also because it doesn't gut either team.
Right.
Right? Like, you still keep the guys in place, but they each have their own problems. Like Philly's probably the closest team to competing for championships of the teams he's looking at, but right. We talked about this a lot. Like he'd have to be content with being an off the ball player because Ben Simmons can't shoot, and Ben Simmons isn't going to become a great shooter in the next year or two. So you're going to have to play off ball. You're going to have to be LeBron who is a role man, or LeBron that pops and shoots threes. Like,
or the other part of that is LeBron says, you got to trade Ben Simmons. I can't win here with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, but he represents Ben Simmons. Why would he do that?
Well,
that would be an awkward situation.
that would be an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. Like in a perfect world, like Ben Simmons is that molding, that lump of clay that he could mold into his own image, right? But I mean, there was a stat saying that Joel Embiid's like at the rim numbers or whatever really fell off this year as opposed to last year. Like he was taking a lot more like outside shots.
Yeah, he shoots too much outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look.
Well, here's the other thing.
It's also a gamble if Markelle Fultz is going to pan out. Who knows?
They also can't sign their best shooter if LeBron goes there. Basically, they would only be able to give Redick the mid-level,
which he might take.
Which he might, but
if he thought he could win a title, maybe.
Yeah.
No, but they'd absolutely wind up with Korver again.
Yeah, that's true. The Cavs would trade Korver there somehow.
And they could probably get one of Bellinelli or Ilyasova to sign for the mid-level.
Nah, well...
Or the vet minimum.
I think those two guys are probably going to go to whoever pays them the most, and if it's not a big difference, then they'll sign for the vet minimum somewhere. But if there's a contract that pays them $5, $6 million somewhere, they're taking it, because they've never had a big NBA contract.
Yeah, but but if you look at Philly, you're right. Like it's the antithesis of what he's built the last two times around, where he's surrounded himself with shooters.
Yeah,
right. And he's had one other creator, either Dwayne Wade or Kyrie, and then he's had one big man who can rebound and pop out for threes. Right, like he's basically done the same pattern the last two places he's been. And that's worked for him. He's won three championships doing that and competed for eight total. So if you look at it, Philly doesn't have that DNA, right? Like it's different, and it would be a much more of an adjustment for him to try to figure out how that's going to work. And they're going to need shooting.
Yeah.
And they probably don't have enough shooting to beat Boston once they get their guys back. So, yeah, it's something to consider there. And then with LA, they're even further off.
Yeah.
Because
they have pieces they could move for pieces.
Shooters.
For shooters, for sure.
Sure. Plus, is it gonna be enough to compete to even get to the Eastern Conference Finals past Golden State and Houston?
Western Conference Finals? Yeah.
Yeah, no, Western.
I think that's the other issue. No. One of those people being moved would be Lonzo Ball, because LeBron wants no part of the Ball family. And the other thing is Lonzo Ball is not a player that LeBron can play with because the dude can't shoot.
Right. So, yeah.
Right. I have another thing with the Lakers that I feel like no one's really touched on, and that's that regardless of how good their team is or regardless of who they can get, if LeBron goes to finish there, yeah, they'll embrace him. They'll like him when he retires. If they win a title, they'll cheer for him. But he's just another guy there.
Yeah.
Like they already had Kareem and Wilt and Magic and Shaq and even Kobe. and like he'll never like be embraced the way those guys were. And if he doesn't win a title, all the Kobe fans are going to go crazy. I mean, he won five titles.
He'll be the new Dwight Howard.
Right, exactly. So he'll just be another guy. And I don't know if LeBron really wants to just be another guy for a franchise. And he would be. Like, for the Lakers, he that's what he would be.
I'd actually think he would have a better legacy as a Clipper than a Laker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there's nothing on the Clippers. They have neither young guys nor draft picks.
Yeah, that Doc Rivers has run that team into the ground.
Yeah. Dave McManaman said yesterday, I think for ESPN LA, he will not be a Clipper. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, nobody should be until they change the name.
Why?
It's true.
Clippers? I mean, it no, made sense when it was in, when it was in was
a, I didn't know if there was a story behind it.
No, it's just Clipper has just so, for so long been synonymous with losing. Like, I don't know why you'd want to, why they, when they moved to LA in the first place, why they didn't change it.
No, I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I look at it and I say, the Cavs, I'm not saying you run it back. I still think they need to look for, and I don't put any blame at all on Kevin Love, but I do look at Kevin Love. I think we've had this behind the scenes running disagreement about this, but I think Kevin Love, along with the 8 pick, is really the only viable trade chips that they have.
Yeah, you know, so who's a dark horse that I just thought of. I mean, obviously you got the Spurs we've talked about as a dark horse if something happens with Kawhi or they figure out. But other than moving Kawhi, it's very hard for them to create the room. But what about Indy? And I don't ever see LeBron going to play in Indianapolis. They literally have $25 million in cap room and a lot of guys they could move. That would be an interesting option.
With Oladipo and Turner and...
Yeah, it would be a damn good team.
Possibly Young. Collison's a great shooter.
Yeah, I mean, it would actually...
He wasn't in the Cavs series, but...
By and large, he's a really good three-point shooter.
He's kind of their only three-point shooter there outside of Oladipo, though, right?
Yeah, and although Oladipo is very much in the Kyrie Irving where he was... you know, a year or two ago, mold right now. I mean, Oladipo, he's an absolute killer one-on-one. Which right. Yeah. I was so impressed with Oladipo in that series.
Yeah, he's great. You don't see a guy improve that much usually this far into his career.
And he was an older guy when he came in. Like,
right,
he was like 22 college. When he was drafted.
Yeah.
Just a dark horse. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's any. Somebody said Milwaukee,
I feel like the one thing that's been said that it's not just smoke is that he's going to do what the family wants.
Yeah,
he's going to do what's best for the family. And the truth is, he's not going to one of these. If he's going somewhere that's not, you know, Los Angeles or Philly, like he's not. It's not going to go to another Midwestern place and uproot his family and make them tag along with him. So that's why I think the people that are saying like the Los Angeles, that's really the only thing that gives Los Angeles a little more fuel, I think, is that he does have two homes here. He's, you know, who knows how long he'll have two, but he's renovating the one. He's definitely looked at the schools here for his kids. I mean, you know, his post-basketball career will likely be at least 50% in Los Angeles, given his interest in the entertainment business and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, it makes sense that would be the other place he would consider seriously.
Yeah.
And they have the cap room to sign him, and they have at least the ability to put pieces around him. Because look, the thing that Lakers haven't had for the last really since even the year or two before Kobe left was that kind of started bringing in, because Kobe was hurt and then he was sort of like past his prime and really breaking down. Right. The last 61 game notwithstanding, but you know, and they didn't have Magic before. Now they have Magic, and they didn't have a guy like a LeBron to pull other guys there. Cause it's a lot easier to pull free agents to Los Angeles. It always has been, but there's been this, you know, 5 or 6 year gap where they haven't been able to, because the team's been so poorly run. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, there was parity. You could go win other places and not have to be reliant on, like, we have this many banners in the rafters, you know? So So I could see it, but I think if he wants to, if he says he wants to win championships, I think it's a little disingenuous because I don't think that team is close. And I don't think they will be for at least a year or two.
And by then, even LeBron could be slipping. In 2 years? I mean, that's certainly possible.
He'll be, what, 30? He'll be 35?
Yeah.
How old is Paul George?
Paul George is 34 already.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That can't be right. Paul George?
Not Paul George. I thought you said, I was thinking CP. Yeah. Too many Pauls. I was thinking Chris Paul.
Yeah. So
no, Paul George is 29.
Yeah. So I think Paul George is the guy that goes. I think if LeBron goes to LA, Paul George goes to LA. Cause then I think he's got a real shot, but I don't think Paul George wants to go to LA by himself. Although no. I could still see it happening.
Yeah. But he's from there.
Yeah. And so, then the other thing that is going on with the Lakers right now, and I'm sure you've heard this, is the whole diss track battle.
Oh, yeah. They told those guys to tone it down.
Between Lonzo Ball and who's the other?
Kyle Kuzma. Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing, if you're LeBron, and I said this about Philly, but it's true about the Lakers, too. If you're LeBron, you're in your soon-to-be mid-30s. Do you want to spend all day, you know, for weeks on end with a bunch of kids that are younger than 24. I mean, that just sounds like the most unpleasant thing on the planet.
You'd have Channing.
Yeah, well, that is true. I mean,
and again, I think wherever LeBron goes, he'll probably bring Korver with him.
Yeah, and I also think that there will be a lot of, and the one thing I will say is, the Lakers have a much better coach than the Cavs right now.
Oh, and Luke Walton, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have no doubts that Luke would do some of the things that we were screaming at Ty Lue to do in this finals. But, and to me, that's one of the things, if I'm LeBron and I'm having a discussion, I think LeBron loves Ty Lue. But I also think he knows he can't win with him. Or at least not with the talent level the Cavs have now. Because Ty Lue isn't making chicken salad out of chicken bleep, you know.
Right.
I think it's like what Mike said before. I don't think he wants to leave, but he may just not have enough of a chance. Because, again, it's really about the Gilbert relationship. It's about the GM. It's about, you know,
that the Cavs have failed to make intelligent decisions on and off the court for the last year. You know, they had a year to prepare for the Warriors and LeBron still playing 48 minutes.
Right.
A night.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll say this though. While I agree, I think that Gilbert's going to be the problem in finding some common ground here. Not that LeBron isn't culpable too. I also think like the stuff Chris Sheridan puts out there is a little bit much. I don't think it's the way he interprets it. Maybe. You know?
No, I mean, I don't want to cast shade, but I feel as if Chris Sheridan has kind of devolved into where Peter Vesey is right now as an NBA reporter and analyst.
Yeah.
The guy on the street corner screaming at trash cans?
Maybe not. Maybe trash
to cans. That level? Yeah. Look, I honestly, it's beyond the LeBron of it all, the biggest sort of paradox of conflict that I have as a Cavalier fan is is my feelings about Dan Gilbert, because on one hand, the guy spent everything and more to put the best product on the floor, to put the best, you know, to make the building the best it is.
Game day experience is fantastic.
It's fantastic. Absolutely. So, however, I also, you know, I mean, just as, and look at, I think he seems like a great father. Like you see the stuff with Nick and, you know, with his other kids, and he seems like a really good family man. But on the other hand, like I know I know, I mean, the politics are no secret. The, right. the decision making is no secret, you know, and I look at it and I say, well, man, like, dude, just it's so easy. And it's not, but it seems like it would be so easy just to navigate a path here and just say, you know what? And he did for a while. It felt like he just, you know, he put the guys in place to just say, do your thing, be the basketball guys. I'm going to stay the hell out of the way. And for a while that seemed to work. And I don't know if we'll ever know what happened with the Kyrie situation
and the Griffin situation.
Or the Griffin right. situation. I don't know if we'll ever know the truth of that, because both those guys have sort of, you know, danced around it, and
everybody has danced around it. Kyrie, LeBron,
everyone's got it's. Yeah. There's like five sides to each of those stories, so I don't know if we'll ever know what that is. But I mean, look, there was a causality there. There was a domino effect. There was I touched on it in my post, which is like, if you told me these things would have happened, you know, a year ago or whatever, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have put my money on that. It just seemed unfathomable that
I mean, not only that, just in the NBA in general, like the amount of just insane storylines. I mean, yeah, the Cavs are part of it, but who would have told you that, yeah, the Rockets are going to miss 27 threes in a row in a game 7, and because of that, the Warriors are going to go to the finals, and then they're going to sweep the Cavs. I mean, after J.R. Smith calls a timeout or doesn't call a timeout at the end of the first.
Or that the Cavs would have swept the best team in the East in the regular season yet again.
And then gone to game 7 against Boston and Indiana.
Well, that Indiana was as good as they were after trading away Paul George.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
when everyone projected him to be a lottery team.
Yeah, it's been bizarre. I mean,
it's always bizarre. Or that Brian Colangelo would lose his job after the Sixers had a great year.
Yeah,
because his wife created burner accounts that that she criticized players and management with.
Right.
Insanity.
Yeah, it's just nuts. And then the other half of that is just like you were saying, Dan Gilbert navigating a path forward. It's like just. Go find somebody to make these decisions for you and recognize that you don't always make great decisions. Like, your penchant for tiny point guards. I mean, that just makes absolutely no sense.
There are so many owners in the NBA and in sports in general that I've never heard of, that I don't know. I couldn't pick them out in a crowd. I would never have known that they were quoted as saying anything, because – they don't. That's not their. It's not good business,
right?
Well, and the funny thing is,
if you're not a basketball guy, and you're just like, I want to own a team because I know that it's lucrative. It can be if you have the right things in place. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't from a pure business standpoint, like, I don't think Dan Gilbert has day to day decisions on Quicken Loans. Like, I'm pretty sure he set that up, and then he has guys that run it for him that know what the hell they're doing. Right. So why insert yourself? Why create a situation last summer where you now have to kind of be the de facto basketball guy? And maybe on one hand, you're like, oh, it's so hard because, you know, I have to do it myself now. And then on the other hand, you're like, yeah, but I kind of secretly enjoy it because I like making these decisions.
I don't
think
you made a secret out of it. I mean,
no, I know. But yeah, but that's
no,
it. But
he has
whole...
such a mixed legacy.
It really is. It's so paradoxical because, look, he's not Art Modell who was like hardcore and then turned his back and betrayed everything that he built up. He's not, Jimmy Haslam who's basically almost been indicted on, on charges. He's not even
Al Davis, who's toxic every time he's on camera.
But like, he's not even like, he's like the closest thing, I guess, would be Mark Cuban, right? Like, he's just outspoken and he just says the wrong thing at the wrong time. But I think a lot of it comes from just passion and wanting to succeed.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes he gets blinded by ego or whatever it is. And we all do, but that's the thing. Like I said, I know I started this whole thing by saying, like, I just, I try really hard to reconcile my two sides of the coin on Dan Gilbert.
Yeah. And but on the other hand, you know, you look at some just baffling decisions that have taken place under his watch, and it's almost like they stumbled into winning a championship with LeBron James. I mean, they drafted Anthony Bennett. They passed on so many guys to draft Sergei Karasev. You know, they passed on, I think, Rudy Gobert and Giannis.
Well, somebody was saying, like, had Anthony Bennett been better, right, they might not have been in position to draft Wiggins, who they needed to get love.
Right.
To get LeBron to come back. So who knows?
Exactly. I mean, it's just so bizarre.
Anthony Bennett was quality salary filler, too. I mean, what if they had actually drafted somebody good and traded that guy with Wiggins for love?
Yeah.
People would have gone crazy. I mean, people already went crazy.
Well, then they wouldn't have had to trade Deion Waiters, too.
That's true.
No, but they would have had to trade Deion eventually.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and Deion Waiters, another just baffling decision, drafting Deion Waiters, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, although, in defense of the Deion Waiters thing, not that I'm not a Deion guy, but the other guys were Harrison Barnes, who I'm not a Harrison Barnes guy either. And then the
definition of overpaid mediocrity in the NBA.
And then it would have been Drummond, who, you know, Drummond's a good player, but people forget how he was terrible at UConn. I mean,
yeah.
He looked like this guy didn't know how to play basketball. He compared himself to Kevin Durant in his pre-draft interview.
Side of that being, that guy, Durant, he would have been a much better player 10 years ago. In this era in the NBA, he's kind of a dinosaur.
Right. Yeah.
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 So, but you also look at, you know, the people they brought in the offseason were all people that were just unplayable against Golden State. And then you wonder why you struggle against Golden State. I mean, you know, I love Jose Calderon. I love, who are some of the other, well, I don't love.
You don't love Jeff Green.
And I don't love, and Jeff Green. And it's just like these guys reverted to the exact same player they have been throughout their careers in the NBA. And, you know, you should have been able to have seen this coming.
Nothing that happened
to the Cavs this year was unpredictable. No, I mean,
I think the thing that bothered me most, though, and I'm sure it bothered Ben. I don't like it when people say that we hold Jetty Osman and Dele in the same sort of reverence, because I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
But the Cavs came out and said, and again, it may have just been total smokescreen, which it probably was. Remember when they said at the trade deadline, when they got rid of Dwayne Wade, one of the big reasons why they said they did was because they wanted to play Jetty Osman and they didn't think there'd be enough minutes for Dwayne. And they didn't want to put him in that situation, so they offered him the chance to go back to Miami. And that was the cover story. We all know that's probably not the whole story. We've heard the rumors about him taking shots at Ty Lue, or the, you know, them feeling like he was a bit cancerous or a bit of a lawyer in the locker room.
I think that he did want to go back to Miami,
which is all well and good. But if you're going to use that as your cover story, but if you use that as your cover story, commit to the cover story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they never really committed to playing Jetty and developing him in any meaningful fashion.
Yeah. And just the insane thing was, he has a game late in the regular season where he plays really well, but then down the stretch misses three big threes.
Was that the Philly game?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Philly
comeback
game. Yeah. And misses three big threes, and then basically Ty Lue doesn't trust him anymore after that. Yet Ty Lue just keeps trotting out over and over and over and over again in the playoffs Jordan Clarkson and
Rodney Hood,
who could not hit the broad side of a barn in the playoffs. Okay. I mean, it was just I'm going to go pull up the playoff stats for the NBA Finals.
Clarkson's were the worst of all time, I think.
Really?
Somebody posted on Twitter. Somebody posted that on Twitter, I think, that Jordan Clarkson's stats were maybe, I think, some of the worst of all time in the NBA Finals.
I don't doubt that. Jordan Clarkson was 3 for 13 from 3. He shot 23% from the field. He scored 3 points per game.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, somebody posted on the thread. Jordan Clarkson statistically had the worst postseason in NBA history.
Yeah.
He had the lowest win shares in NBA playoff history, a record that's been held since 1951.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He posted a win shares of minus 0.7. He averaged 4.7, 1.7, and 0.7 in 15.1 minutes a game. A shooting split of 30.1, 23.9, and 83.3.
Yeah.
His true shooting was 35.8.
And then Rodney Hood, who that was my favorite Mallory argument from the other day, was Rodney Hood is just as good as Chetty. And I'm like, did you even watch the playoffs? Like, Rodney Hood in the playoffs shot.
Well, a little bit of fool's gold, because didn't he score a bit in the last two games?
He did, right. But he shot 17% from three in the playoffs. Four for 24.
Well, and his defense was horrendous, too.
Yeah, I mean, just awful. Yeah, like, he had that big scoring game in game three, and then, but he just got obliterated defensively in that game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think both those guys, Hood and Clarkson, are just guys who, in the regular season, you know, the humdrum of the regular season, they get their points, and it's just, but they don't have that gear, that playoff gear. Like, I think Hood is soft, and I think
Clarkson
here's my
shocker to that. Yeah. It's just, they're just not playoff players. They're, I really believe that that's a thing. And those,
but
guys
allow me to retort. if you've got a coaching staff that can develop these guys, they have talent. They are capable, but when you yank a guy in and out of a lineup, you destroy his confidence. Rodney Hood had that one game where he refused to come off the bench, not because he was being willfully insubordinate, but because he had lost all confidence in himself.
Right.
Okay. All right, here's my counterpoint. Would you say Quinn Snyder is a good coach?
Sure.
Yeah. And Rodney Hood was terrible in the playoffs for the Jazz last year.
Oh, absolutely. No. And
so I think there's just something that Rodney Hood cannot handle. The guy who, like, when no pressure, will get some numbers.
Wasn't he kind of hurt last year, though, too?
I remember.
Well, my counterpoint to you.
He wasn't fully healthy in the playoffs.
My counterpoint to you, Mike, is that Rodney Hood was, according to RPM, literally the worst player in the NBA who got over 25 minutes a game last season.
Yeah, like, I would believe
he
that.
He was arguably the worst high-minute player in the game last year, and the Cavs were still playing him like crazy minutes. I mean,
I agree. They shouldn't be playing
win with Tyronn Lue, and they cannot keep these players who are terrible on the team, yet they keep thinking that bad players are good, like Isaiah Thomas. And that's what's killing this team more than anything else, is they're playing bad players and they think they're good.
Someone's got a squeaky chair.
Oh, maybe it's me. Sorry.
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why, like, if they re-sign Hood for, like, his qualifying offer, I guess that's fine. But
yeah, well, you play a guy on a make-good contract, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But
yeah, but giving him any real money is absurd.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Let's say LeBron leaves, and you figure that the Cavs will go into a rebuild mode and probably trade Love.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Love going? Where do you trade him? What makes sense?
So to
probably
me,
like Utah
would make sense.
Put him next to Gobert, he'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be great.
What do the Cavs what would the Cavs get back though?
I think somebody was saying like you'd get back like one of the like Trey Burke. And then I think from Utah would have to probably be 2 draft picks. Probably one this year and then one protected in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
What about Indy?
Okay.
I don't know if Utah would do that, but
yeah, I just don't see like what team is going to give the Cavs like the combination of like non super terrible contracts and or young players and draft picks that would be interesting.
Well, there's the Celtics and the Sixers. Both those teams have a ton of draft picks. And both those teams probably have.
You can't trade with Danny Ainge again.
No, you can't trade with Danny Ainge. And here's the secret. I have a sneaking suspicion that he's going to be trying really hard to unload Gordon Haywood and Kyrie Irving this offseason because you cannot trade for injured players. It's just dumb. Right. You can't do it. Cavs got burned last year. They should never do it again. Again, right. Another terrible decision the Cavs made.
That was a terrible, terrible decision.
I mean, you cannot trade for injured players.
What about to San Antonio for Gasol, Dejounte Murray, and a draft pick?
Oh, I would do that in a second. Do you think San Antonio would give up Murray and a draft pick?
Oh, in a second they would give up a 29th draft pick.
I like Murray. I think he's a good young player.
Yeah,
the problem with Murray is he can't shoot. And the NBA is becoming unforgiving to point guards who can't shoot.
That's
unless
fair.
You're as tall as Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I looked at OKC because I thought, he had the relationship with Westbrook.
With Russ,
I think Adams and he would fit well together.
But then
And I don't want Melo. I don't want that contract.
Nope.
Even for 1 year, I don't want Melo in that locker room. Yeah. So then you look at it like, oh, well, I don't know.
Well, if they traded for Melo, he would be a buyout candidate. I mean,
that's true.
Let's be honest. Melo's going to suck up to whatever team will give him a minimum contract after this one's over.
Yeah.
I mean, what about the Wizards? The Wizards... Otto Porter. I hate all their contracts. Their contracts. You know, maybe the Bucks. Actually, I think the Bucks would be a fantastic spot for Kevin Love.
It would be. is it you're taking back?
Try to get Brogdon, right?
Yeah.
But if you're the Wizards,
because they already have Brogdon. Yeah, but they already have what's his name? Bledsoe.
Have they hired a coach?
Yeah, they hired. The Atlanta guy, Budenholzer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Actually, he would fit really well there. But I don't think Budenholzer is dumb enough to trade Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, he might not have a say. I don't know. I would make a trade with the Sixers right now, considering their current GM situation. I think the Cavs should just hop on it. trade Love to the Sixers before they have anything stabilized. Pull out, Saric and a draft pick. Sweet. And take on what's his name? Bayless's contract? Sure.
Interesting. I mean, the other option I saw, Corey and I were talking today, trade up to number two with the Kings, and although, man, that's a rotten way to do Kevin Love is to trade him to the Kings.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
and go get Doncic, and we haven't even talked about the draft, and I'm actually getting super excited about this draft because I feel like this is the most loaded draft since 2003. So,
oh wow,
oh this draft is just absolutely loaded. I mean, to me, it's a 10 deep draft, and the top three all have. I think there's multiple guys with Hall of Fame potential in this draft. So
who is your preference for the Cavs if you have to pick one, assuming the draft goes the way most mocks are going?
Mikal Bridges probably, but I have this hope that a guy like Marvin Bagley or Doncic falls to the Cavs.
Right.
I think you're dreaming, dude.
Like, well, I think I am too, but somebody's going to fall.
I don't think it's going to be one of those two guys, though. Like, if someone fell, I could see, like...
I've seen Doncic falling all the way.
I could see Jaren Jackson falling. I could see Bamba falling.
Bamba, he could go anywhere between 3 and 10. I mean,
it's
crazy.
I could see Trae Young falling if they think he's just too small.
There's too many dumb teams at the top of the draft for Trae Young to fall.
Maybe. But I mean, don't you think this question kind of is predicated on whether or not LeBron is here?
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, everything in the next few.
Yeah. Like, look, if LeBron's still here, I'm looking at a point guard and probably Sexton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And although if LeBron's, a lot of people think Sexton and Young will be gone already. So
right. I haven't seen anywhere where Sexton's projected above 7.
I have. I think the CBS mocks draft today.
I'll look right now.
EG is hashtag fake newsing me.
I haven't paid a ton of attention. I like Sexton. I am not interested in Michael Porter Jr.
No, me neither.
Why?
Injury.
What's wrong with Porter Jr.?
The back and just some of the pods I've listened to, you know, like I want to say it was Lowe and maybe some other guys. I can't remember exactly who, but there was a lot of rumblings about like what kind of teammate he was this year. And I don't want to deal with that stuff. Like, you know, I think, you know, Popovich always says
he was a freshman.
Yeah. But Popovich always says the Spurs draft guys who are over themselves. And I think there's something to that.
Oh, and, I totally agree with you.
And that's between that and the back,
by the way, Nate, CBS, sorry for the, CBS has Sexton going 9th to the Knicks after the Cavs take Wendell Carter Jr.
I saw it.
Fake news.
Now I'm going to have to find it. Damn it. Okay.
Yeah, they have 8-1, Bagley 2, Doncic 3, Porter Jr. 4, which I think is too high. Jaren Jackson 5. Bam Bamba or whatever to the Magic at 6. Trae Young to the Bulls at 7, which makes sense to me. And then Wendell Carter Jr., which doesn't make any sense to me, to the Cavs.
Yeah. If the Cavs take Wendell Carter Jr., I may be done forever. I got in a big argument with somebody the other day, and their answer was, well, the guy's the next Al Horford. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
Those guys don't get you to the finals.
Now, look, if LeBron's here, I'd want Sexton or Bridges.
Yeah.
And if he's gone, I mean, this is why I know you don't like him, Mike, but I think Porter Jr. is that guy that has the ability to fill up a stat sheet in a variety of ways. And I don't see a lot of other guys like that in this draft.
Yeah, but back injuries just make me nervous. Fair point.
And to me, and the difference I would also say is there's so many other good guys that do what Michael Porter Jr. does in this draft, you know, that you can take any one of those guys. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
There's so many wings in this draft. Or, you know, combo forwards. And
he's 6'10", dude.
I know he's 6'10", but
ain't no wing.
They list him as a small forward.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a big small forward.
In the way that Kevin Durant's a small forward. I mean.
Yeah, but
yeah, or is it in the way that Michael Beasley's a small forward?
Exactly. Maybe. Exactly.
Hey, don't knock Michael Beasley. He had a good year.
He did. He's had a couple good years in a row.
Yeah.
And from what I've been following, everything he says, he sounds like he's a pro.
I would have rather had Michael Beasley than Jeff Green this year.
Absolutely.
We all are like, I mean, not that Michael Beasley is any good on defense anymore, but he's a much better offensive player.
He was just such a monster in college. I really thought, like, I did not think that guy would. I knew there were other issues, but he was a monster, like, on like the way Durant and Melo were in college. And well, I just thought this guy's at least got a score bunch.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
The problem is that other issues were like enormous for him.
Right.
You know. Yeah. So you hate Bamba, EG. I used to hate Bamba, but now I'm like, oh, you put him with LeBron, he'd be the greatest role finisher LeBron.
Oh my god. He's like Nerlens Noel 2.0.
He's bigger than Nerlens. He's much thicker than Nerlens.
I don't think he's that thick, dude.
Yeah, he's 7'0", 225.
225. It's 7 foot tall.
He's pretty skinny.
Dude, eat a sandwich.
Jeez, oh, Pete. Yeah.
Go to the brew house or whatever.
He can shoot threes though.
Come on. He started taking threes towards the end of the year. It's not like he can shoot threes.
So ESPN had a really good article, and I sent you guys a link, and I don't know if you read it, but it was basically who has the best odds to be a rotation player, a all-star, and then a bust. Who do you think has the biggest bust potential in this draft? Did I just talk about him, EG? Is it Bamba?
Trae Young. I think it's Trae Young.
I think it's I actually think it's Ayton, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean...
Well, another guy who...
Ayton kind of reminds me of the dude in Minnesota. What's his name?
Towns? Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the way that I expect him to be... he'll be a scorer, but I don't know if he'll ever be the... If he'll turn into the anchor on a team that could, you know, that looks like they could win a championship anytime soon.
A lot of numbers and not win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he won't be a bust.
Well, I guess.
How are you defining bust? I mean, he's not Anthony Bennett. He's not, you know what I mean? Like,
Markelle
Fultz would be a bust this year, right? I mean, even though his teammate made it to the
bust, as the guys taken behind him will end up being so much better that he will look like a bust. Like, he will be...
Okay.
You know.
But he's not going to be Darko.
Maybe. I'm trying to think of a good comp of a guy who was okay. You know, I don't want to say Sam Bowie.
Greg Oden?
No, Greg Oden. That was injuries.
So was Sam Bowie.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's an unfair comparison. Although Sam Bowie played a long
Ralph
time.
Sampson?
Ralph Sampson was really also good for injuries. A while.
He was good, but people still say, oh, you took Hakeem after him, right?
No.
Yeah, they took Ed. Sampson was 83 and Hakeem was 84.
Yeah.
Oh. No, but somebody got drafted after Sampson that became a big star. Was it Karl Malone? Hang on.
No, Malone was in the 84 draft as well, wasn't he? No, he was 83. Maybe.
Or Ralph Sampson. Because he was the number one pick that year, right?
Yeah.
He was an all-star MVP.
Here's the comp. Joe Smith.
Joe Smith.
There you go.
Joe Smith for the Warriors. What draft was that? That was 95. Oh, that was a bad draft. Top three Smith picks. Michael Olakandi, Antonio McDice, Glenn Robinson. Oof. Oh, no, that wasn't the same draft. So 95 draft. Oh, yeah. So he got taken ahead of Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace, and Kevin Garnett. Oof. Yeah, that's a good comp. I like that comp.
Yeah. Joe Smith was fine, but certainly not the right number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, redraft, it's KG 100 times out of 100.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then,
yeah, I kind of think Trae Young will... I wonder, is Trae Young going to be this great shooter, or is he going to be Jimmer? Where it's just kind of a gimmick player.
Or Seth Curry. Seth Curry, not Steph Curry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trae Young reminds me of a guy that's super good after 1 year of college, and then if he stays in one or two more years, everybody sees all his warts and he's a late first round pick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's just capitalizing on being a really good freshman. And to me,
and he should.
The total comp on him is Jennings.
Oh. Ugh.
For
you
who?
Know what I mean? For Trae Young.
Jennings, you think? Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember his first name.
Brandon Jennings.
What happened to Brandon Jennings? Didn't he play for the Wizards last year?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, he had one 41-point game as a rookie, and basically or 50 some point game as a rookie and scored a lot of points, won some games, and then, you know, pretty much.
I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be Steph Curry.
No.
Even though he kind of shoots like him every once in a while.
Yeah. But there's only one Steph Curry. And part of what made Steph
Thank God.
Well, say what you want about the guy, but, you know, on the
court. Oh, I will.
Yeah, so here's the thing on Brandon Jennings. Career 39% shooting percentage from the floor. That's not good.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Steph Curry, but he played three really hard years at Davidson where he was basically their entire offense. Whole teams were geared around.
Did he shimmy after winning shots in Davidson? Did he wear his mouthpiece on the outside of his face at every free throw? did he flop like a marionette on literally every shot that he took?
So you've seen the commercial where he goes, this was where humility was born and ego was laid to rest. Have you seen that one?
Oh, my God, no. Oh, I don't think you could do that and then shimmy all over the court. I don't think like, that's how it works.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, he still made himself the player that he is. Give him that credit. And he's still a phenomenal player.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He's a phenomenal carnival game player. He's annoying.
He is. Clearly, you do not like Steph Curry.
I never have.
Yeah.
I never have. It's like, if you're going to celebrate like a man, dude.
Here it is. This is where ego was laid to rest and humility rose in its place.
Jeez.
I'm so surprised you guys.
I think they misread it. It should have been not humility, but hubris.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like, I know you guys saw this commercial because it ran 1,000 times, but Steph Curry probably came on and you just tuned out the commercial.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, I changed the channel for sure.
Yeah, or, oh God, you remember the one the year before where he was in the isolation tank?
I literally don't watch Steph Curry commercials. Just like when he was doing the deodorant commercials, like forget it. Like I stopped. I used to wear that brand of deodorant. I stopped. I switched.
That's so funny. He's like
there was a good way for them to lose a client.
Yeah. So yeah, Trae Young. Is he Steph Curry or is he Brandon Jennings? Is the
well, here's the really interesting question, which is, you know, which will turn your stomach, which is, if someone said to you, Trae Young will be more Steph Curry than he is Brandon Jennings, wouldn't you want him to be the Cavs pick if he was there?
Well, more is a relative term. I mean, give me a metric, you know.
Well, okay. Enough like Steph Curry that people would make the comparison.
I think then, yeah, you do. Because, like, Brandon Jennings isn't good, but he's hung in the NBA for almost 10 years. So if you're better than that guy and you're closer to a guy who's a two-time MVP than the guy who hangs around the NBA for 10 years with the eighth pick, yeah, I mean, that's a good eighth pick.
Even if you had to struggle through some injuries early on, like they did with Steph in Golden State, which you probably will because he's slight of build.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. So who do you think – okay, so your biggest bust is Trae Young. What about you, Mike?
Oh, I had said Trae Young. Oh, okay. I think. Okay. I think,
so who do you think has the best chance to become a superstar in this draft?
I know who you're going to say. So I'm not going to say that person.
I haven't watched a ton, and to be fair, but everything I see about Doncic, like, the guy's already the best player on a level that's higher than college basketball. I'm going to go with him.
Okay. EG?
That's who I thought you would pick, Nate.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't decided until I look at the board.
Yeah, I got to look at the board again, but I'm going to say, without looking at the board, I'm going to say Bagley.
Okay.
Who I know you don't like because you think he's too short.
Actually, my pick is probably, I'm probably going to agree with you. I've loved Bagley for the whole year. I just think he's going to be really good.
I do too. I don't know why people are like blinking on him now all of a sudden.
God, I hope they are. I mean, he's clearly, I don't know if you saw the pictures that I put on the blog, but he's clearly not 6'11 because he is as tall as Peja. I mean, they're right. Just the exact same height. But yeah, he's going to be really, really good.
I agree.
Yeah. So, and then who has the best chance in this draft to be just a really good player for a really long time? Like, maybe not a superstar, you know, but really good player for a long time. Like, do you feel like Bagley has any boom or bust potential, or you just think he's going to be a good player no matter what?
I think he's going to be a good player no matter what.
I would agree with you. I think he has the chance, and he's probably not as long, but he reminds me of a more polished and kind of a more of a wing version of Sean Kemp. And not fat Sean Kemp, young Sean Kemp. Just an absolutely explosive finisher who can kind of do a little bit of everything on the basketball court. So
I think the other guy that's going to be a really solid player for a long time is Jaren Jackson. I just think he's got good height. He can shoot threes. You know, he's got a huge wingspan. He gets around really well. You know, I mean, he shoots 40% from three at 6'11".
Yeah.
80% from the line. He blocked almost 6 shots a game.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely, I think, so my guy on that is Mikal Bridges. I mean, I just,
you look yeah, at what I, every, I'm a big fan of his too, yeah.
You look at everything the guy's done in college in 3 years, and it's like, he and Doncic to me have like, their floor is so much higher than every other player in this draft's floor. Like, at the very least, Mikal Bridges and Doncic are both going to be high-level players, maybe, you know, just below All-Star for the next 10-plus years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and both of them could be big stars, whereas, I mean, Doncic could be a 6'5" version of Steve Nash, you know?
Yeah. I just have this really bad feeling that Bridges is going to the Sixers, and they'll just keep him, you know, because he played at Villanova, and like, I just think he's kind of like the perfect piece on that team, being a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah,
like if they wanted to let Covington go, you know, because he got too expensive, like Bridges is probably a better version of Covington.
Yeah, that's
who can shoot better.
Except Covington, they signed him to a really good contract at the beginning of the year, so.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah, and we'll have more on
although that. He'd probably be a throw in piece if they pulled off one of these, you know, Kawhi or LeBron trades.
Yeah.
Signing trades.
So speaking of the Kawhi situation, you guys think that's going anywhere?
Well, no. I've been hearing lately. Well, go ahead, Mike.
I think he's staying. I think that meeting would have to be a disaster for them to trade him. I think he's there.
So you think he's going to stay and sign the extension?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Pop's going to coach till the Olympics in 2020, and I think he's done. And I think Kawhi will stay. That seems to be the direction things were leaning.
Interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they tried to move LaMarcus.
I don't know who'd want him. I mean, I guess the Mavs always want big men, but
yeah,
I don't.
Lakers.
Know. Here's the thing: I think if he comes back, I think they have to keep LaMarcus because I don't know who you can get for him that's going to make them a better team.
Kevin Love.
Interesting. Hmm. Interesting option. I mean, there's so many dominoes this offseason. It's really crazy. Like, and yeah. I mean, I feel like the first domino is LeBron, but if he takes his time, it's like...
It's Paul George, right?
It could be, yeah. But I think Paul George is going to wait and see what LeBron does. You know what I mean?
But yeah. It's crazy that we're back at this place again. Yeah, Every four years. Every 4 years.
Groundhog Day.
He definitely wears teams out. I do think the organizational fatigue thing is definitely real.
Well,
yeah,
I guess.
I mean, he just like not even like, I'm not saying his attitude or behavior. I'm just saying like he just like teams give so much to like keep winning with LeBron that like there's just not much left for the Cavs to do or give. I just feel like there's not a lot of easily. There's not a lot of impactful changes they have left. They don't have a lot. I think they can make moves to improve themselves, but I think that he's just like the constant trying to appease this man. I think it's wearing on the Cavs now. I think it wore on the Heat. I just think keeping up for making sure you can win now for LeBron and then trying to make sure you can win. You can keep doing that year after year. It's impossible to do because you run out of assets.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that, and Corey and I were going around a little bit with this, is LeBron, I'm not going to commit long-term, but I want you to commit long-term to these mediocre players that my agency represents, or I'm not going to commit. You know, right. It's like, he does it to the teams that he's on, though, too.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know.
Here's a question, which I only just thought about. Let's say 2016 went the other way. And we're sitting here 4 years in, still no championship, close but no cigar, four times. Does he still contemplate leaving after the letter? He hadn't gotten the job done?
I'm glad I don't live in that universe.
Me too. But I'm at, it's a serious question.
That's an interesting hypothetical.
Because now, having done what he said he was going to do in the letter... I mean, no matter what he does after 2016, no one's going to really hold a grudge, other than maybe Dan Gilbert. But everyone else is kind of, you look at it and you kind of shrug and say, he did what he said he was going to do in spectacular fashion.
I will say that the odds of Ty Lue getting fired in that situation and a new coach coming in are much higher.
Man, you are gunning for Ty Lue.
Oh, I don't think the Cavs can win long-term with the coaching staff. Or I don't think they can win. They don't even have a shot at a championship with the coaching staff they have right now. I mean,
that could be.
They have a bad head coach. They literally just got rid of the only assistant they had, well, aside from Larry Drew.
I don't think they got rid of him. I think he had a better offer from Memphis, right?
Who made discernible positive contributions to the Cavs this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, Larry Drew and him were the only ones that made discernible positive contributions visible.
I like Phil, was it Phil Handy too or whatever?
Yeah. And he's a player development guy too, but
yeah.
He certainly didn't do
much. But Longobardi's worthless.
Yeah. He didn't do much for London Perantes, but
you put Longobardi on loose shoulders and they still don't make a good head coach.
Yeah. And in fact, they've got to sit on that high chair just to get talk to LeBron at his level. So, now, that's the other thing that just drives me up the wall about this team. And it just goes back to they just consistently make bad decisions. You look at Quinn Cook. Quinn Cook's a guy available all season. The Warriors finally get him. Who do the Cavs have on their team? London Perantes. Like, what does having London...
And they had Quinn Cook.
Yeah, they had Quinn Cook. They had a shot at getting... who's the... Spencer Dinwiddie within the last 2 years. I mean, and they wasted... They spent $3 million to get Kay Felder, who from 1 month on was completely obvious the guy will never be big enough or have a good enough offensive game to play in the NBA. And it's like, but they kept riding that train. Like, they don't cut their losses when they make bad decisions, and they make bad decisions all the time. just
well, which is why I feel like at least with the trade deadline deals, that was a reversal of course in a pretty big way. And it's you know, it should have worked out better, but and had they had
I still think coaches it has the that can, ability to well, work but, out sorry.
With better coaches.
Right, and Larry Nance Jr. to me is the and George Hill, if he can get a better coach, are positives there.
So what does the team look like next season? If LeBron leaves?
Oh, that's a good question. You want to go first, Mike?
I have no idea. I don't think there's anyone who will definitely be here next year. I don't think there's one player on this team who you say they're a lock. If there is one, it's honestly probably Tristan Thompson because he's got two more fully guaranteed years. But
I think nobody wants him. Yeah.
I think if LeBron leaves, I think they commit to Larry Nance and the eighth pick and Jetty. I do think they commit to those guys, and they move any other guys they can.
And how about Zizic, too?
I think Zizic, absolutely. But
Zizic as well, yes. But I have no idea. I think they'd probably try to move Love for either kids or more draft picks. I don't know if they want to, if Dan would be as willing to strip it quite as bare bones as he did the first time, but I also don't think they have to. Last time, remember, they didn't have a pick that very first year, you know, right after he left, and their best young player was J.J. Hickson, or I guess Danny Green before they cut him. But
hey, Booby you know, Gibson, come on.
Right. They're in a better position this time in the sense that they have Nance, Jetty, and this eighth pick, and Zizic. Like they're ahead of where they were. I think that's
fair.
Pretty fair.
But they've got to hit a home run with that pick, and then they've got to hit a home run with the pick after that. I mean, rebuilding in the NBA is really hard, and you can't miss on draft picks. And they've shown no ability to hit on draft picks. I mean, their batting average is pretty dang low. I mean. The only one they hit on in the last was Kyrie Irving.
Right. The one other thing I'll say is whatever they do, they have to get some young shooters because Jetty, I think he can be a decent shooter. He's not there yet. Nance probably is never going to be a shooter. Yeah. Zizic obviously isn't a shooter. If they, let's say they pick Sexton with the eighth pick, like not a shooter yet, like young shooters is something that they should
But see, that's why I think they'll take, if Porter Jr.'s there along with Sexton at eight, I would, if LeBron's gone, or I guess they won't know. That's the hard part. But like, I just think you've got a guy in Porter who can create his own shot, is a good shooter, you know, at least kind of fills that role in a, you know, at 19.
Right.
Even with the back problem. I mean, look, Porter Jr. was the odds on favorite to be the number one pick before he hurt his back.
Right.
Well, and also
you get that talent at eight. That's the guy you can build around.
Right.
I don't think Sexton's a guy you can build around. I think Sexton's a guy that is a nice complimentary piece that can grow into the position.
So then you have Porter Jr., Nance, and Jetty as your front court?
Yeah, probably.
And then,
no, I'd probably go Zizic, and I'd probably place Jetty at two. I'd probably go, if you're doing total tabula rasa, I'd do Zizic at the five, Porter Jr. at the four, or no, Nance at the four, Porter Jr. at the three, and then, Jetty at the two, and, I guess, you know, just play George Hill at the
Jordan Clarkson
at the one or Clarkson backing him up.
I feel like you could trade George Hill next year. But yeah, you might have to take a longer term.
Probably
deal.
Closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah,
I think you'd probably go closer to the trade deadline than when you like the did when you want.
Well, right,
to
because
find a team that needs a point guard.
Well, and as Eli has been shouting from the rooftops, George Hill is basically an expiring at this point.
Yeah.
For next year, if the Cavs don't have LeBron, because he's only due $1 million the year after that, and maybe the Cavs, what the Cavs probably do with George Hill is package him for some players on some longer term deals where a team is trying to basically dump salary.
Yeah.
And they have to give away draft picks to do that. So but what the Cavs would spend with, like, a lot of time renting their cap.
JR next year if LeBron
with
leaves.
What?
With JR next year if LeBron's gone.
Oh, I think if LeBron's gone, JR's probably a stretch pay.
I think you don't even stretch it. Who cares?
Or he's just a buyout.
You just cut him.
Yeah. Just cut him.
That's a lot of money to eat. I mean, like, isn't that like $12 million to eat?
It is, but what are they doing anyways? They're going to be rebuilding? Who cares? Just keep.
Just have him come off the bench. I mean.
Yeah, but what do you think? I'd be worried he'd revert to a lot of really, really bad habits in the locker room with young.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah.
Who are the other guys on this squad? I mean, Kevin Love goes probably for a draft pick. You got George Hill. You got Kyle Korver probably gets traded for a draft pick or just
to wherever LeBron goes.
Or
trade bought out.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To think if I'm missing anybody.
Oh,
on the
I can
team.
See. I can see Budenholzer making a play for Korver.
Oh, yeah,
in
absolutely.
Milwaukee.
He's absolutely what they need. They desperately need shooters in Milwaukee. So
then get Deli. We could get Deli back for him.
I'd be down with that. I mean, part of the problem is they actually
run Deli at the point.
I actually would like that because then. I actually think Deli's a great role model for a young team. So
that'd be your backcourt, Deli and Jetty.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That team would grind.
That team would grind.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun. So let's wrap this up with what do the Cavs look like if LeBron's back next year? E.G.
Well, I mean, there's so many ways you can go. If LeBron's back, then it means he's at least back for 1+1, but probably because I think it's his last opportunity to sign the Supermax, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if he's back and he's just said, I'm back, this is where I'm going to end up, I'm going to retire here eventually, then I think you still got to look to see what you can get for whoever you pick with the 8th pick in Love.
Right.
And if you can get a Paul George, if you can get, you know, I'm not saying maybe both, but like those are the two pieces. Those are really the only two pieces you can use, I think.
Yeah. And maybe Chetty has some value, but
I still like, I know I've hit this a few times. I would still go and see if you could get Kyle Lowry from Toronto.
I like that
for the 8th pick, and just, you know, and maybe and do that plus like him plus George Hill to make the salaries work. That way, Toronto's got George Hill, a guy for now, and they could draft Sexton or Trae Young if he's there,
yeah,
or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like a guy like that who can be, you know, who can be that replacement for them, because their center is not going to hold. Like Toronto is one of those teams that can't be over the cap and a lot of salary right now, even though they got young. They have a lot of salary wrapped up in DeRozan, Lowry. I suppose they can. Is this the last year for Ibaka?
Oh, he just signed.
Oh, he just signed. So I mean, they got a ton of. They're really top heavy. So if you could retool, if you know LeBron's going to be in Cleveland for the next 4 years, still at that level, and you've got that mental block with him anyways, like, why not? Because for them, Kyle Lowry's 33, about to be 34. You know, he's had injury issues. I mean, I'm selling against myself right now, but he's just the kind of guard that he's sort of that the guard that can play defense, but can also hit threes and run your offense. Like he's kind of the workmanlike version of Kyrie Irving, where you could, you know, he can still be a shot maker. He can still be a get his own shot, but he can actually play some defense.
Yeah. And he was really good last year when he was healthy. I would not want to do that move without getting another draft pick back. Because I do feel like for straight Kyle Lowry at his age, that's a pretty steep price to pay, but who knows?
Yeah.
I would love a guy I love in this draft that I would love to see the Cavs be able to get, but I don't think he'll be there in the late 20s would be a guy like Jalen Brunson, who I think is probably possibly the most underrated player in this draft. I think he'll end up going in the teens just to a team that wants a veteran, a solid point guard. But
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I like that. I like that move.
But
if
yeah,
they would do it.
That's an interesting hit. Mike, did you have a theory?
Yeah, it's not the ideal thing. It's not the sexiest thing, but I think they talk to Charlotte and they try to move JR and Hill, who are essentially close to expiring deals, and the eighth pick for Kemba and Batum. And, you know, right, those salaries are pretty even this year, but then Kemba will get an, you know, sign a new contract. Batum's owed a ton of money. It's going to save Charlotte like $50 million over the 2 years after that, at least. And Jordan's rich, but he's not crazy rich. They're stuck just outside the playoffs. The eighth pick would help them start the rebuild.
They could draft another terrible, another mediocre player with that eighth pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Kemba is the most realistic all-star the Cavs could get.
I'll agree with you. Plus, actually, if you are Michael Jordan and you've got the Cavs pick, and does Charlotte have a pick this draft?
They do. I think they're 10th.
If you've got the 8th pick and the 10th pick, there's an opportunity you could maybe move up to.
Right.
Yeah. They would definitely be a candidate to draft Wendell, what's his name?
Wendell Carter?
Wendell Carter, for sure.
Yeah. When he just strikes me as a guy like why are you wasting a lottery pick on a you know, basically a decent Euro big man? I don't know.
The guy they have them projected taking is Kevin Knox, who I would stay the hell away from.
Oh, which is exactly why Michael Jordan will draft him.
Right.
Yeah. So mine is, I'm just gonna go total homer, and just go. The Cavs go to Portland. You know, basically say you guys aren't going anywhere. 8th pick of the draft. You got a chance to get a star. Give us McCollum, and we'll take one of the bad contracts off your team for the George Hill expiring or something like that, and kind of go from there.
Yeah. Right. Are they ready to break that duo up?
I probably not, but that team's not getting any better. Yeah. I mean, I feel like
you'd probably actually get more traction to offer Kevin Love to them, but
yeah.
But then you have a hole in your front court.
Yeah, and like I've said, Kevin Love wasn't the reason they lost the finals. I mean, Kevin Love averaged 20 and 11 in the finals. Yeah, he didn't shoot a fantastic percentage, but literally against the Warriors, a team probably putting up 40 points a night from their backcourt, the Cavs were getting 17 on average, and far below that in some of those games. So,
I'm not suggesting that we blame Kevin.
No, Kevin Love.
I'm just saying yeah. Kevin Love, of the guys currently on their roster that they could move, Kevin Love's really the only guy that has much value.
Oh, I'll agree with you. Yeah.
So if you're going to get something like, I'm just saying, if you have somebody who's proven like McCollum, I think it's hard for Portland ownership to justify and the 8th pick for McCollum, who, you know, was a kind of diamond in the rough that you found in home grew, you know?
Yeah, the other thing I do if I'm the Cavs is I try and get a shooter for the mid-level, maybe a guy like Redick if he's there. But there's going to be a really good player in the NBA that's going to have to take the mid-level because there's no cap room. And
they'll probably wind up with Joe Harris.
Exactly. The other guy I might look to go after is a Spencer Dinwiddie. So
he's going to get paid, though, I think.
So what? I mean, you trade the 8th pick for and George Gilchrist for Spencer Dinwiddie. I don't know. And maybe a Blazers future lottery
pick. I don't know.
The Blazers would do that in a heartbeat.
Not the Blazers. You're talking the Nets.
The Nets. Yeah, the Nets would do that in a heartbeat. But, I mean,
they try to make you take, like, what's his name? The guy used to be on Portland's bad contract. The guy with the big ears. What's his name?
Alan Crabb.
Yeah, Alan Crabb.
Maybe, but, I mean, they got some guy. They have pieces. Let's put it that way.
I know. I'm with you. I like Dinwiddie. I don't know if I like Dinwiddie as the eighth pick trade-off.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying the Cavs, there aren't going to be a ton of options there for guys.
He was good though. Oh no, I'm. By the way, I'm totally agree with you. I think that's why I bring up the Lowry thing, because it's I don't want John Wall, right? I don't really particularly want some even Kemba. Like, he's a good scorer.
I'm not a huge Baby Dame Dalla fan. You know.
Yeah, but man, that guy can score.
That guy can score. I mean,
you put him next to LeBron, and that's dangerous. Like, that's Kyrie level dangerous.
Plus, the other reason they're never moving him is he puts fans in the seats.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
no question.
Yeah.
Dinwiddie's interesting.
I mean, plus they got Damari Carroll. You could put him on this team. You know, they got so many guys that other teams didn't want.
Jahlil Okafor.
No, I don't want any part of Jahlil Okafor.
How sad is it? Jahlil Okafor is only 22 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's terrible. He's just terrible. They got Timo. We could get him back.
Yeah.
You got Jeremy Lin coming back. Actually, Rondae Hollis Jefferson's a hustler. I wouldn't mind having him. He's only 23.
Dinwiddie and Hollis Jefferson for the eighth pick and J.R. Smith.
They don't make enough.
Under the cap, they have the room to just absorb the contract.
Right, that's true.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, the Cavs would have to take probably like Jeremy Lin. Which, I'm not a huge Jeremy Lin fan, but...
Oh my actually, god, Alan Crabb makes $19 million a year.
I know, isn't that insane?
That's insane. Yeah, and they're the ones that offered, what's his name, Miami. They should have let him just walk, Tyler Johnson or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Crabb did shoot 38% from three last year.
Yeah, but he's Alan Crabb, dude.
Hey, I'm... Yeah. Anyway, this podcast is ridiculously long in the tooth. So thank you guys.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Any good story? Oh, wait, you got to tell us the, I know it's long, but you got to tell us the,
no, it's not long at all.
Your driveway story.
It was so fun because, so my oldest basically quit basketball this year and it kind of broke my heart, but also she didn't have a lot of kids that she'd enjoyed playing with. The ones that are in the high school that she's going to be in were just insufferable people that are in the same grade as her. And so she kind of quit. My youngest is really got the tools for basketball, but doesn't want to play it at all. She's a swimmer and she enjoys those kind of sports, but we were playing horse in the front yard. And so I was playing in flip flops and I couldn't shoot at all. So I basically haven't played in about 3.5 months. But my 8-year-old actually beat us by just shooting that shot from like 4 feet in front of the basket. We were all so bad. It took us like an hour to play the whole game. And my youngest got two shots instead of one. And then it ended up winning the whole thing and dancing around.
That's awesome.
It was a crowning achievement of her 8-year-old life. So.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, and the weather when it's not raining in Northeast Ohio has been pretty awesome. So,
yeah,
it was
a beautiful evening. So,
nice.
And that is why I'm over the finals now, because there's more things than NBA basketball.
So. Absolutely,
there's life going on.
And Mike, I enjoyed your story today about Kareem. That would have been really interesting to go see.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. He was a really dynamic speaker. really held the room.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always been an unbelievably intelligent and introspective guy.
Yeah.
And I loved him in the Airplane movies.
Loved him in the Bruce Lee movie. Yes, and he was great in Airplane.
Yeah. Tell your old man, you try to drag
Walton and Lanier's butts up and down the courts for 48 minutes. Well, as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Yep. Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.